second book of Chronicles, chapter 34. Second Chronicles and chapter 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the ways of David his father. He declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, the idols, and the carved images, and the melted cast images. They broke down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were high above them cut down, the idols and the carved images, and the cast images he broke in pieces, made dust of them, and scattered it upon the grave of them who had sacrificed unto them. Verse 7. When he had broken down the altars and the idols, and had beaten the carved images into powder, and cut down all the idols from all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joab, the son of Joahad, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. When they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites, who kept the doors, had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin. They returned to Jerusalem. They put it in the hand of the workmen who had the oversight of the house of the Lord. They gave it to the workmen who wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and mend the house. Verse 14. When they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan, "Scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. Shaphan carried the book to the king, brought the king word back again, saying, "All that was committed to thy servant, they are doing." Verse 18. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book." Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan the scribe, and Athaliah, servant of the king, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, for them who are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to all that is written in this book." And then we read that they went to Huldah the prophetess, and she answers them, verse 24, "Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon its inhabitants, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye pray unto him. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender. Thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his word against this place, and against its inhabitants, and humblest thyself before me, with tear thy clothes and weep before me. I have heard, even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy father. Thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So then wrought the king word again. Then the king sent to gather together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king led up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the Levites, and all the people, great and small, who read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place, made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and his testimonies, and his statutes, with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. Verse 33, and Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Moreover, Josiah kept Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month.
Consistent in
his walk. He did not deviate from the path that he had chosen. And it was simply his idea of morality, that which was right. He was a faithful young man. I wonder if that can be said of any here or even older than him, that they are faithful, that they are consistent. Then, when he became 16, we're told he began to seek after the God of David, his father. You notice he didn't go back to his father and his grandfather. He went all the way back to a man whom God said was a man after his own heart. He knew the history of that great king of Israel, David by name. He knew that this one had followed God, that he found favor with God, and so he says, I want to seek after the God of David. I want you to turn with me to two scriptures. These scriptures hold a promise. And if there are any here this morning who still have not yielded to the voice of the Spirit of God, as He has spoken to you over several nights, the first is in Jeremiah 29. Here are a word of encouragement to you if you have not yet done like Josiah. Started to seek after the Lord. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. It says, and ye shall seek me, and find me, when you search for me with all your heart. Josiah was seeking the God of David his father. And here is a promise for all those who would seek after him. But there is a condition attached. He said, you shall seek me and find me. If there was a post-op period there, you would say, okay, once I seek, I'll find. But there's a condition. When you shall search for me with all your heart. The second verse is found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8. Father as a teenager. And Lord honors that servant. Are you seeking after God? Are you searching for Him with all your heart? God will honor that servant. Maybe that's why He brought you here to Eastern Caribbean Bible Camp this week. Because each night the week He has been pointed to you, you have been pointed to Him. Each morning during your devotional period, you have been pointed to Him. And if you are earnest in your search, God says you're going to find Him. So this youngster, he began to teach. But his seeking led him to take action. You know, some of us pretend that we are seeking. But we can always tell when that thirst is not with all one heart, because there's no action following the thirst. We're always thirsty. There are men today who are searching for all kinds of what they call truth. But they refuse to read the book that speaks of the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They spend billions of dollars exploring outer space because they want to see if there's a possibility that there could be life on any other planet. And all they have to do is stare in this book that Genesis 1. And that's the answer. They could spend billions of dollars. Use that in other places. But they refuse the word of God. Josiah not only sought after God, but as he began to get a revelation, it wasn't a full revelation yet, but as he began to get a revelation of who this God was, he started to take action. And the first thing he did was deal with the idolatry that had swept over Israel, that had turned their hearts away from God. Don't tell me that you are searching and that this search is an earnest search, and let me not see some action, some change in your life, some change in your attitude, a change in the company you keep. Josiah began a purge. And it wasn't a purge just of persons, it was a purge of things. All the idols that his grandfather and father and those before him then had to do that had captured the heart of this people. He said, you know something? I have to start there. I have to get rid of them. How many of you this morning have had your heart turned away from God, from the Lord Jesus, because you have idols in your life that need more to you than you have? Josiah said, I'm going to have to get rid of the idols. And remember, he didn't have a full revelation yet. But what little he did know, what little he did find as a result of his sermon, led him to take the right action. He began to get rid of all the idols, the high places, the images. You know, we can still go into churches today and see images. I sometimes marvel at the homage, the desperate state of those images by some who come in. And they will not bow to the Lord. They'll bow before an inanimate object.
they refuse to bow to the Lord.
Josiah says, if I want to make progress, not only for myself, but for this people, those things have got to be put aside. They have got to be smashed to pieces. We're told that he not only brought them in pieces, he made just something. You know what that tells me? That there was not a man in Israel who could come and put that together again. If he just broke it into pieces, you know, some enterprising fellow would have got some glue, whatever, and put it back. But he made it into dust. That's what we have to do with anything that takes our heart away from the Lord Jesus. If I find that it is occupying my attention, and therefore drawing my heart away from the Lord Jesus so that I start to lose interest in reading His Word, I start to lose interest in going to the meeting to hear the Word of God, I need not only to smash it, but I need to grind it to success. And we're told that He not only did this in Jerusalem, but He went farther afield to other cities, those over whom He had control. And He did the same thing. And after He made sure that the job was complete, and you know something? He didn't delegate this to anyone. He went on and made sure that the job was being done properly. And after it was complete and resolved, He returned to Jerusalem. There were going to be no halfway measures with Josiah. Sometimes we take a step forward. And that's all we do. One step forward. And inevitably, if we refuse to go further, if we refuse to do like Josiah, to destroy them completely, we're going to find that we took that one step forward, but soon we have taken three backwards. So we're in a worse condition than we were. Josiah says, no, everything must go. Everything must be needed to done. Anything that is unlike God must be destroyed completely. He's only 16. But then, 10 years go by. The job wasn't done in a day, you see. But now at age 26, he's got rid of the idols. He's smashed the images. He's got rid of all those false priests. He's cleaned up the land. And then he turns his attention now to the house of God. He says, you know something? It's in disrepair. Think of it. That magnificent edifice. That solemn edifice. Where God demonstrated approval in such a way that the priest could not even go in to minister, has fallen into disrepair. You know why? Because the idols had taken hold of the people's hearts. So the house of God meant nothing to them. They would keep their idols in great condition. Shining! But the house of God was in disrepair. Josiah says, the next step that must be taken, the house of God must be destroyed. The place where the people ought to meet, the place where the priest ought to function, must be suitable for the one of whom it seeks. let me just suggest to you that some of you who are young, you have a hump. That hump has been developed by a divine purpose. The apostle tells us, our body, they're the temple of the Holy Spirit, which we have above. We are not our own. In what shape are you keeping the house in which the Holy Spirit dwells? Are you going after the images, the idols, the false gods? Messiah says, okay, money has been collected. I'm going to deliver that money now to the workmen, those who are in charge. And they did that. But the man who had this high moral character, the youngster who began to seek after God, who took action because of the limited knowledge that he had, who got rid of all the things that had claimed the hearts of the people away from God, who now said it's the house of God, the place of meeting, must be repaired, so that it can be once again used for the purpose which David had in his heart. He now makes a discovery. Now he's going to see the true picture. This seeker after God, the man who is the high priest, finds a book. Now I wonder, what was Hilkiah doing all that time? He's supposed to be the high priest. But he doesn't have the instructions given by Moses, which were given to him by God. How is he functioning? Hilkiah, he finds this book, and he gives it to the scribe, Shimei, and he says, you need to show this to the people. Shimei brings the king the report, but he also says, you know, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. Now Hilkiah had told Shimei what the book was. He recognized what the book was. He may not have been following it, but he was familiar with the book. Shimei simply said to the king, Hilkiah has given me a book. And he begins to read it to the king. You shall seek me and find me if you search for me with all your heart. Josiah, for the first time, hears the word of the Lord. What did he do? He rent his clothes. A sign of repentance. He was an earnest seeker, and God fulfilled for him the promise he gave. Now he sees the full picture, and he recognizes that he is nothing. He may be a king, but he has not done anything that God wanted him to do. And he tears his clothes. He repents. And all Satan did was read the words of that book. How many of you have been here since tonight? And you have had the words of this book read to you each and every time you come together. Has it done anything for you? Has it caused you to share your thoughts, not literally, but figuratively? Has it caused you to come to a state where you say, oh God, I'm sorry. I have sinned against you. Josiah says, I need someone to intervene for me. He says, because God is going to pour up his wrath, because our fathers, beginning with all I can still remember, his grandpa, his father, he says, we have not kept the word of the Lord. We have not been obedient to what is written in this book. God is going to judge us. So, in Jeremiah, the high priest, where did he go? He goes to the house of the prostitute, a woman. You will find that wherever there is dissension, and men are not taking up the pope, the responsibility that God has given to them in his word, he is going to use those who are faithful. You go into the Judges and you find a devil. You go into the Chronicles here and you find a other faithful women. But where are the men? Hezekiah, the high priest, the one who is representing God, he is going to her to get instruction. You know what? Because though he was high priest, he did not have any knowledge of the book. A title means nothing. There are men today who have great titles. But when there's a text to all of this book, you can tell that they're unfamiliar with it. And that's why we bring you young people together, so that you might get a knowledge of this book and begin to love not only the book, but the person of who it speaks. So when you open your mouth, you will be like what we heard. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, right signifying the word of truth. Not only will it do something for you, but it will do something for those to whom you witness. But when you hear somebody get up and start talking something that sounds really fancy, you will know when it's wrong. So Hilkiah goes to Huldah, and Huldah gives him a message. It's a message of judgment. Judgment that's going to come on this people because they have refused to obey the word of God. Some of us go along day after day, happy-go-lucky, not recognizing that the more we hear the word of God, the greater is our responsibility, and therefore the greater the judgment imposed on us if we refuse to obey. And so it gives him the bad news that God is going to judge that nation. But she says of Josiah, this is a message from God, because your heart was tender. Josiah had a soft heart. The man who hears the word of God and refuses it becomes hardened. Your heart was tender. You did humble yourself before God. God saw and that youngster tore his clothes. And he was saying in essence, I have sinned. I have sinned against God. He says, not only did you do that, but you humbled yourself before me.
tore your clothes and you wept. I remember on occasion meeting young people who would come after gospel meeting and they would be weeping because the word of God had an effect on them. God the Spirit was using it to point out to them how wretched they were. They would be weeping. And you could tell when the change occurred, when the Lord Jesus came into the heart, mine would break out. I've heard some say, I feel like a heavy load has been lifted off me. The sins were gone. Josiah wept before the Lord. You know, he didn't go out and put on an act before the people. God said, you wept before me. You know, sometimes the tears don't have to roll out of your eyes, you know. God said, look at that. And see that you're weeping before him. And he understands. But not only Josiah did not accept the words of this book for himself, he says, others must hear this. And as the king gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and he got all the men, all the inhabitants, and he said, now you need to listen to the word of God. He was seeking to bring honor to the same place where the word of God had brought him, the place of repentance. That's what we try to do at Bible Camp, to bring many who have not yet known the Lord Jesus Savior to the place of repentance, the same place we, the staff members, came to. That's what you young people ought to be doing, you who know the Lord Jesus. Sharing the word of God so that others might come to repentance. But not only did he have them come and hear the word of God, but he led by example. We're told the king stood in his place, made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimony and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul. And he says, not only that, I'm going to perform them. Not just words, actions. I'm going to live the life. And he gave, as it were, his personal testimony in front of that entire audience. He was leading by example. And if all that he had done before in ridding the country of idolatry seemed there were still some left, after he read the book, he realized that there were more things that needed to be put away. Sometimes it's very plain to us when we come to know the Lord Jesus the Savior, the things that we must drop off. But as we read this book, as we meditate on it, we discover that there are things about ourselves that sometimes we hardly do. But the Word of God, the Spirit of God reveals them, and he says, this too has to be put away. Josiah took away all the abominations. Every bit of land, every bit of territory that belonged to Israel, he said, everything is got to go. And then finally we're told, moreover, Josiah kept the Passover under the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. If you go back into the book of Kings, you will find that this Passover, that which Israel had been given to do when God delivered them from Egypt, from slavery, when he redeemed them by his power. When I see the blood, then I will pass Israel, the judgment fell on every household in Egypt that did not have that blood. And then he brought them out. And he said to Moses, he said, you tell them that this Passover shall be a memorial to them throughout all their generations. And some maybe 400 years later, we are told in the book of Kings that it was not carried out since the days of the church. Now you think of all the judges and all the kings who followed Saul, no Passover. They did not remember the redemption that they had found in the Lamb. The Lamb who had brought them to the Lamb. Save them from wrath. And they were delivered out of bondage that had gone by the way. But now this young man, having read the book of the law, reinstituted the law. How is it with us? Have we forgotten the great price that the Lord Jesus paid for us when he endured the wrath of God like that lamb? When he shed his precious blood, have we forgotten that? Do we just pay lip service to it? Or does that great sacrifice make an impact, make such an impression on us that we make a decision to throw away all the others, to destroy them, grind them to dust, so that he might possess all in all. That's the question you, each of us, must face this morning. What do I think of that sacrifice? What do I think of Calvary? Is it enough to make me to say, oh God, take from me everything that is alive so that Christ might be seen in me? Are we going to do this? That is a challenge that we bear. And a decision must be made. Not next week, not next month, today. By each of us. Are we going to be like your father? Or are we going to turn away, turn a deaf ear to the voice of God? The decision must be made. And if one, you can't put off. It is one that you must make. The time of decision is between you and God. Between you and God as to what you are going to do with this time. Being saved and knowing you're on your way to heaven isn't enough. God wants more from you. His Son went through too much to have you just say, oh, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. That's all that's necessary. He doesn't want just a part of you. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. This is time, young people. The decision is between you.